Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let me begin by saying, and I know I speak for all of the missionaries, we really want to thank you for all of your kindness, your thoughtfulness this week shown toward us. You have gone the second mile in making us feel very, very special. And I want to thank you for that. And June and I certainly appreciate all that you've done toward us in that way. I want to just spend a few minutes, and I promise I'll not waste your time. I'll try to condense this. But I just want to look at some things to sort of prepare for the receiving of the commitment cards today. This is a very important day for Temple Baptist Church. Imagine what is done for missions through this church for the coming year depends primarily on what's done today. And so this is a very important day. I sort of feel like I am talking to the choir because this church probably knows more about faith promise giving and missions than most missionaries do. And you have been very faithful over the years, used over the years, and you have a congregation that loves missions. And so, but I want to just share a few things, and I'll just go through this as quickly as possible. In thinking about this matter of faith promise giving and what the Bible says about faith promise giving. The church at Corinth had promised to give a faith promise offering. We see that recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, as Paul writes this letter to the church, he is telling them that it's time to give that offering. And as he does that, he spends chapters 8 and 9 just giving them some things that they need to remember, be reminded of, and how they ought to do what they're supposed to do. He tells them that he's sending Titus and some others to receive the offering that they've committed to give to the needy saints at Jerusalem. So let's pray and we'll just take a look at this. Father, bless these few minutes now as we look at this portion of Scripture. Help us to say what we need to say and stay on track and do what we need to do in these moments. Help us to listen and be alert. And I pray that you would just open things up to us in a way that would cause us not just to listen, but think about what you would like and to do in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I know you've already looked at these first verses where he talked about the churches of Macedonia. He used those churches as an example as he started to instruct the church at Corinth. But I want us to look at one thought in these beginning verses. It says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." That little word "wit" there has the thought of to make known or to understand. What Paul's saying here is, I want you to realize what took place in those churches over in Macedonia. Now, we remember the Macedonian churches, Acts 16, when Paul had that Macedonian call, and he went into that area. Churches were started in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. He's talking about those churches. And he makes a statement about them that we need to get a hold of and always remember when we're thinking about faith promise giving. Notice what he says. We do you to wit of the grace of God. You might underline that and write in the margin of your Bible by those words, the words grace giving. He's talking about giving by the grace of God. Now, that's important to understand because we cannot really give the faith promise the way God wants us to with the attitude God wants us to have unless we understand that it is by the grace of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you think about grace, you're really talking about God's activity. We're saved by grace. What does that mean? It means that God does it. God provides it. God informs us of it. God makes us aware of it. God puts it before us. All we have the responsibility to do is to accept it. We have to make that decision. But it's God's work. And that's what this grace is when it comes to giving. We could talk about all kinds of grace and the way God works through grace. But here he's talking about giving by the grace of God. That means it's different than any other giving. You don't have to pray about tithing. It's already spelled out, identified, defined. We know what the tithe is all about and how we're to give it. But when it comes to grace giving, that's when God reaches down and says, this is what I want to do in your life and through your life. It's something that God wants to do that is personal, individual. He wants to do it. And so, so that's what faith promise giving is. It's God reaching down and saying, this is what I want to do. All we have to do is agree with him. And if we agree with him, then he becomes active in doing it in and through us. And that's the thrilling thing about faith promise giving, is that it's so personal that when God becomes active, a new area is opened up to us personally. And we're able to experience God in a way that we cannot experience him apart from agreeing with him about this act in our lives. And so it's a work of grace. And he's saying to the church of Corinth, the Macedonians learned this. They learned the secret of this. And you've heard and seen it as this, how they were having all kinds of problems. They were in poverty. And yet they experienced the grace of God. It's not about the money. It's not about how much. It's not about everything going great. It's letting God do something. Letting God work in and through us. Now let's skip down here. Because those first five verses he talks about the churches of Macedonia. But down in verse 6 he begins to talk to the church at Corinth about their responsibility. Notice what he says. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, what? The same grace also. Titus is coming to you, and when he comes to you, what we want him to see is God doing the same thing in and through you that he did in those churches of Macedonia. We want to see you experiencing the grace of God. Notice verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, as you continue, as you grow, he says, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So as you grow in your Christian life, in your faith, in your diligence, serving God, in your knowledge of the Word of God, in your love to us, when you grow in all of these areas, make sure you grow in this area of giving by the grace of God. Why do you have a missions conference every year? Why do you fill out commitment cards every year? Because there needs to be a growth in this. There needs to be a reminder. There needs to be a new promise made. And this is why we do that. And he wants us to continue in that. Then Paul makes a strange statement to them. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment. He's saying, it's not something I tell you to do. It's not a command that I give. He's still dealing with that grace thing. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. That's what grace does. It proves the sincerity, the genuineness, the legitimacy of our love. Our love. Now, that word prove there has the thought of to test. God's not proving, he's not trying to prove our love for him. He knows that. God knows our hearts better than we know our hearts. God knows all about us. It's proving where we are. See, our attitude toward this matter of grace giving, when God touches us, it proves where we are in our relationship with him. Proving, testing. I can remember when I was in high school. I did not mind the instruction time. Do you remember those days? I'm sure some of you were like I was. I didn't mind the instruction because I could do what I want. I could listen if I wanted to. I could daydream if I wanted to. That's usually what I was doing, thinking about football practice after school or basketball practice or meeting June between classes. I was busy daydreaming. But I'll tell you what I did not like. I did not like test time. Huh? Why? That was proving time. Right? Proved if I studied. It proved if I listened. It proved if I cared. That's when the pressure was on. This is test time. This week is test time for Temple Baptist Church. You hear about missions in this place 52 weeks a year, right? You read missionary letters, you're reminded of missionaries, you pray for missionaries, but one time a year you take the test, and that's today. One time a year you fill the card out. It's proving time, test time. Test time for what? To see if you are responsive to the grace of God, God's activity. And that's what today's all about. Why did Paul say that? Why was he so pointed? The next verse tells us. Look at what he says in verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Paul says, I'm telling you this because Christ set the example. He left everything to come to nothing. So you and I, who had nothing, could have everything. And you and I enjoy everything we enjoy today that's good because of Christ, because of what he did. And he set the example of this grace. He did the Father's will. He did what the Father wanted done, what the Father planned. And God has a plan for you and for me, and he's trying to work that plan through us, and this is a big part of it. Now, let me just close with these next three verses, because Paul gives them some instructions here that sort of points out his conclusion to them and their responsibility. In verse 10, he says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. That word forward has the thought of being willing. He says, now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now he tells them three things here real quick. He says, first of all, there first must be a willing mind. There first must be a willingness. Let me ask you today, as you sit here today and as you think about missions as a part of Temple Baptist Church, what is your attitude about it? How do you feel about it? Hey, that's going to determine a lot. That's done in and through you. Do you have a willing mind? He said, you folks need to have that willing mind. Not only that, you need to have a ready mind. You need to be ready to listen to God. And so our attitudes will determine much about the decision that we make. We're not going to listen to God if we're not ready to listen to God. We're not going to listen to God if we're not willing to listen to God. If we're not willing, then that means we have no desire to please God. We have no fear of God, which means that we become our own authority and think that we have a right to make our own decision. And so he's saying to those Corinthians, listen, you made this promise and you need to be willing now to do what God led you to do. And then he tells them, it's time to perform that. It's time to do that. He says, you need to perform what you promised, which means they began by making a promise. Now you need to do what you said you were going to do. June and I went to Bible school in 1967 at Tennessee Temple in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In 1968, we went to our first missions conference there, and for the first time in our lives, we were faced with missions in a personal way and to make a commitment to missions. And we made our first commitment to missions in 1968, and for over 50 years, we've been involved in giving to missions. That's what he's talking about to these Corinthians. Because you see, there's a beginning and then there's a continuing. And then a third thing here. I want you to see one last thing. Look in verse 11. He makes a statement. He says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also. Now notice this. Out of that which ye have. He says again, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God wants us to begin giving out of what we have. You can't give what you don't have. And what we've already heard this morning, God gives us everything we have. As a Christian, we need to see that. Think of all the things you have. Huh? We have more stuff than you can imagine. Right? If you don't think you have a lot of stuff, go home, check your garage you used to be able to park your car in. Huh? It's full of stuff, right? If you don't think you have a lot of stuff, go home and look in your closet at all of that stuff that you don't wear. Huh? All of us have that section. You got that section that you used to wear? You can't anymore? Huh? One of these days I'm going to get back in that. It's been there for 15 years, but I'm going to get back in there one of these days. We have more stuff that we don't use than people where these missionaries are going have for their whole life. We have all kinds of stuff. God has blessed us. What God wants us to do is stop and take a look at all that we have and realize everything we have has been given to us for a purpose, to fulfill His plan in our lives. And part of what He has given each one of us, He has given to us for missions. That's what He's saying here. Give out of what you have, but you've got to be willing and you've got to be spiritual enough to take a look at what you have and say, God, what part of what you've given me is for missions? And be willing to let Him tell us. And then make the promise and begin giving out of what we have. Amen.